Song of Solomon, chapter 5. We're going to be reading from verse 8. It says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. What is thy beloved more than any other beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than any other beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy. He's the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. Amen. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy and for your kindness. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love, the love that you showed and displayed on the cross of Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that we can open it up, we can read it, we can find your thoughts, and we can find your mind. We can see you, we can know you, we can learn to love you. We thank you, Lord, that your word is pure and perfect. We thank you, Lord, that it's brought light to our lives. Lord Jesus, I entrust to you this week. I pray first and foremost that your name be honored and glorified and exalted very highly, because it's worthy. Lord Jesus, I pray and I bring before you also every brother and every sister that will be here this week. I pray that you'll touch the hearts and lives of each and every one of them. Lord Jesus, I ask that you pour out your Spirit as you promised to do. We're gathered in your name. Lord Jesus, I pray that you won't allow me, my personality, my person, be a distraction in any way of your work. Lord Jesus, allow me to speak every word that you would have me speak and none more. I pray for your blessing upon this week, and I pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk to you on the topic of why Jesus. It's a valid question. It's an important question. The question is said here, what is thy beloved more than any other? Why should I choose yours? Why should I choose your way and not my way? The answer is given right here. And she says, my beloved is the chiefest among 10,000. Who is he? He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is Emmanuel, God manifest in the flesh. He is the Son of God. He is God manifested in the flesh. That's why. Because he's God. That's why. He is the chiefest among 10,000. And he is lovely. He's good. We're encouraged and we're admonished in Scripture to come and taste and see and try him and prove him. He doesn't call us to a blind faith. He doesn't admonish us just to, okay, just take my word and you have to believe it. He says, come try me, come taste and come see and come prove me. And you'll see that he's lovely. If you haven't been to him recently, I encourage you and I admonish you. Come and see that the Lord is good. Come and see that He's lovely. Fall in love with Him again. What is He like? He's altogether lovely.
Amen.
Every part of Him. There's nothing in Him that might cause you to say, I would follow Him if not for.
Amen.
He's altogether lovely. Every bit of Him is good and worthy to be desired. If you consider His person, His offices, His works, any other part of Him, you'll find Him altogether lovely. There's nothing disagreeable in Him. There's nothing lovely without Him. Find anything in the world that's lovely, that's wonderful, that's good, and take Christ out of the equation, and it's no longer lovely. It's no longer desirable. It's no longer good. He is altogether lovely. He is, Jesus Christ, is the loveliest person that you can set your eyes on.
Amen.
The psalmist said, Thou art fairer than the children of men. I want you to know, walk away from today knowing that this cannot be said about any other.
Amen.
There are many fair people in the world. There have been great people in our history. There have been great people in our church. There have been great people in the world. But none have been fairer than the Son of Man.
Amen.
He is the fairest. He is fairer than the children of men. I want to consider this point for a second, that He's altogether lovely. What does this mean? What does it mean that Christ, Jesus, is altogether lovely? Well, first of all, it excludes any unloveliness in Him.
Amen.
There is nothing unlovely about Him.
Amen.
You can't say that about anybody else in the world.
Right.
He is altogether
right.
Lovely. There is nothing in Him that's not lovable. Every part of Him is lovable. There is nothing in Him that can devaluate His excellency. You know, there's nothing in Him that you could look at and say, you know what, He's good, He is lovely, but He could be better if. He's altogether lovely. What does the Bible say? His law is perfect.
Yeah.
His testimony, it's true.
Yes.
His statutes are right. His commandments are pure. His fear is clean. His judgments are true and just, true and righteous. His yoke is easy and His burden is light.
Thank you, Lord.
He is altogether lovely. He's more to be desired than gold, yea, fine gold. He's more to be desired than honey and the honeycomb. He is altogether lovely. Consider that time that Jesus sent His disciples, apostles, into the boat, meet me on the other side, and He went up into the mountain to pray. They already knew who He was. They already knew. Jesus had previously asked them, will You go away also? And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. They already knew who He was. Now consider this moment. They're in the boat, and Jesus sees them in the boat, toiling and striving to get control of the boat. Jesus walks out on the water, meets them halfway, and He's surprised that they're toiling and struggling. And so in one word, He calms the sea. And they say, already knowing that He's the Son of God, already knowing that the words of life are in Him, already knowing how great He is, they ask the question, who is this? Everything He did was great. Consider Mary. There she was, hosting many people, many of Christ's followers. There she is in her house with her sister Martha. Martha's cumbered about, working so hard, trying to please everybody, trying to make everybody happy. But Mary understood one thing. If she was going to offend somebody, she would not offend Jesus Christ. So she gave him her full attention. And Christ said, she chose the better part. Everything he did was lovely. And she would spend every moment she could with him. Consider that time that that same Mary, weeping and wailing and brokenhearted, without hope, because someone had taken her master, someone had taken her Lord. And Jesus comes and says to her, Mary, Master! Right away, the worry, the concern, the sorrow, the brokenheartedness was gone away in one word. Mary. Everything Christ Jesus does is lovely. Consider the Apostle Thomas. He'd walked with him. He'd seen Christ. He'd done many things. He had healed. He had cast out demons. He'd worked miracles. He had seen Christ work miracles. I will not believe unless I put my hand in his side. And Jesus comes and he says, put your hand in my side then. And he says, my Lord and my God.
Yeah.
Everything Jesus Christ, your Savior and your God does, is lovely. He is the sum of all things that are lovely. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Bread is great. You need bread to survive. Water is wonderful. Medicine is good. Raiment is good. All of these elements are necessary in our lives. But Jesus Christ is the sum of the goodness of all of these elements. He is the bread. He is the water. He is the raiment. And he is medicine for the wounded.
Amen.
He is the sum of everything good that you can say. Whatever your soul might desire, whatever good thing your heart might crave for, it's found ultimately and extremely in him.
Amen.
He is made by God unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Amen.
Everything we need, we have in him. Nothing in opposition to him is lovely. Like I said already, consider the best thing that you have in the world. Consider your best day. Consider the greatest thing, the best thing that you've ever thought of, that you've ever done. And you'll come to the same conclusion as Paul did. And he says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Anything in opposition to him stops being lovely. He is altogether lovely. He is the superlative of all that is lovely.
Amen.
There are many things in the world that are wonderful, that are astonishing, that are magnificent in our eyes. There are so many things that we sacrifice for money and our time and our energy and even our health just to see. Just recently, last month, some climbers went up to Mount Everest, a Polish guy and a French woman. They were going to climb to the peak because they wanted to see the greatness of the world. They wanted to see nature at its finest. And he sacrificed his life and she sacrificed her health, her well-being. Consider how great it would be or how great it was when angels manifested themselves and people saw their glory. It was so glorious. Don't think, oh yeah, whatever. John the Apostle, whenever he saw the angel, he fell down and would have worshipped him.
Right.
That's how magnificent they are.
Right.
I guarantee it, if you saw the angel, you would do the same thing as John. That's how glorious angels are. Christ Jesus is their creator.
Right. Amen.
They're bright, yes, but our Son of Righteousness shines so much brighter. He is altogether lovely. All things were created by him, and all things were created for him. He is before all things. He is altogether lovely. Consider that all of the other beautiful things in this world are fading and growing old.
Yes.
That beautiful car that you just bought. Sorry, Laura. There's a scratch on it. A beautiful wife that you bought. I'm sorry, that you married. Those beautiful children. A beautiful house. Your beautiful country. Your beautiful constitution. Your beautiful army. Whatever it might be. It's all fading.
That's right.
It's all fading and growing old. Yet He ever liveth to make intercession for you. He said, I am ever with you, even to the end of the world.
Amen.
He doesn't grow old. When everything else becomes mundane and old and ugly and worn out, He's ever the same. No, I think it's like in marriage. Young man meets a girl and he falls in love with her and he says, I love you the most. My heart is full of love for you. 20 years later, he sees how much more he loves her.
Right.
You know, Christ isn't the same. He's better
right. Day
by day. Anybody who's come to Him knows that's true.
Yes.
Isn't it true, Brother Lindell?
Yes, sir.
Anybody who's spent time with the Lord Jesus has found Him to be better than the day he was before. David put it this way, my cup runneth over. That's how good He is. That's how lovely He is. My sister-in-law, she's a teacher. She has a master's degree in teaching and she went back to her university 10, 20, 12 years after she'd graduated. She went to see her professors and she went into the auditorium where she had lessons before and she's just looking around and she meets the professor and she's talking with her and going over the 12 years that have gone by and she's excited and she's invited to teach at the university there and she's just thinking and considering how much things have changed since that day that she graduated. And she's amazed at how her perspective has changed and how her goals in life has changed and what she craves for has changed and the teacher's grown older and everything around her has changed, but the thought comes to her mind and she says, although everything around me is changing and getting worse and it's not as I expected, one thing is constant in my life. And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's as good today as He was 12 years ago. He is altogether lovely. Consider this, the wonder and the glory and the beauty of this world that you so admire and was created for our admiration, for sure, has a potential of being idolatrous. You know, you can love your wife too much. You can love that beautiful little child of yours too much. You can admire nature too much. You can love that car, that house, whatever it might be. You can love it too much. But has it ever been said that I love Christ too much?
No.
Has your love for Christ ever been idolatrous? Has it ever been vain? Has it ever been wrong?
No.
That's why He is altogether lovely. Because you cannot love Him too much. As a matter of fact, you're commanded to love Him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, with everything that is in you. Love Him because He is altogether lovely. I mentioned that other things are beautiful and wonderful and lovely. But I found out that nothing else can satisfy. I love my wife, but I'm not satisfied with her love, and she's not satisfied with my love. I love my children. I'm not satisfied with it. Are you? Are you satisfied with loving your wife? Are you satisfied with loving your country? Are you satisfied with loving your church? Nothing else can satisfy. But in Jesus Christ, I am satisfied.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ, I am complete. In Jesus Christ, I can say, give me Jesus. Amen. All I want is Jesus. You can have the world, but give me Jesus. He is altogether lovely. Jesus Christ said, he that cometh unto me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. He that believeth in me shall never perish. Satisfied in Jesus Christ. Satisfied because of Him. We are complete in Him. Consider how Christ is altogether lovely. First of all, in His person, who is He? He's Emmanuel. God with us. Who are you with? Who are you with? God is with you. He is Emmanuel. He is God manifested in the flesh. He is full of grace and full of truth. The Spirit wasn't given to Him by measure. He is God in every sense that you can imagine, that you can think of. Anything that you comes to mind about God, it's personified in Jesus Christ. He's God Almighty in the flesh. The apostles said, show us the Father. What? I've been with you so long and you don't know me. He's God with us. He's full of grace and full of truth. Grace is poured into His lips. Consider His offices. Naturally, each and every one of us were in great darkness, bound to sin, condemned by the law, without hope, and without knowledge of God. Enemies by nature to God. But He is that great prophet of ours that brought great light to our great darkness.
Yes.
And gave us understanding. And in Him, God's righteousness is manifested, is shown, and it's revealed. And in Christ, we understand how God can justify and can justify the unrighteous and remain just. He is that great prophet of ours. He is that powerful king that went into that castle of the enemy and spoiled his goods and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He is that great powerful king that can overcome the enemy, that has overcome the enemy,
Amen.
That promised to ultimately, physically, throw our enemy into the lake of fire,
Amen.
And have the ultimate victory.
Amen.
He is our powerful King. He is that great high priest of ours,
Amen.
Whoever liveth to make intercession for us, who by His own blood attained eternal redemption for us. He is altogether lovely in His relations to us. Who is He? He's our kinsman redeemer who was willing to mar His own inheritance to save us, to redeem us from the curse of the law. He is our kinsman redeemer. He is our brother. I don't know if that holds much weight with you or not. But He's our brother. He's not ashamed to call you His brother.
Amen.
He can't be our redeemer if He's not our kinsman. He's our bridegroom.
Yep.
He's your bridegroom.
Praise the Lord.
You understand what it means for a man to love his wife. You understand what it means for a woman to love her husband. No husband has ever loved his wife as much as our bridegroom loves his bride. It's never happened before. He loves us perfectly. He loves us wholly. He loves us constantly. He loves us eternally. He loves us even when we reject Him, even when we deny Him, even when we complain about Him. He is faithful because He genuinely loves you. Do you know He loves you? Are you aware, are you conscious that He loves you? Not us, not our country, not the church, but He loves you, specifically you. All marriages must come to an end, sooner or later. But not our marriage with Christ. Because He's altogether lovely. He ever liveth. He is our advocate who knows our case very well. He says, haven't I chosen you? He wasn't delegated to us. He wasn't assigned to us. He says, haven't I chosen you? Haven't I taken you on? Doesn't He know your case? Doesn't He know what you've done? Doesn't He know the thoughts and intents of your heart? Hasn't He heard the accusations against you? Wasn't He there whenever that great accuser of the brethren was accusing us before God Almighty? Didn't He hear the horrible things that you've done, that we've done? He's our advocate. He's Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Amen.
He's our advocate. I'll remind you that He knows the law better than anyone else.
Amen.
He's the lawgiver. He wrote it Himself. He knows it back, like the back of His hand. Don't you know that our advocate has an intimate relationship with the judge? He's His son. And He says, Father! And Jesus' own testimony is, the Father will not deny Me. Anything that He asks the Father, has it ever been done before? Has God ever denied the Son? He's our advocate. He's Jesus Christ, the righteous. Don't sin. Don't sin. But if you do sin, let me just remind you, Jesus Christ is altogether lovely.
Yes.
And He's righteous.
Amen.
And He is your advocate.
Amen.
And He stands and intercedes and pleads your cause. And pleads your case. You're safe in Him. He's our friend.
Amen.
He's my friend. He's my personal friend. And He says one of the first verses that I ever learned in my life, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you know that Christ laid down His life willingly, voluntarily, freely for you? Again, I remind you, we all know He died for the world. We all know that He died for the church. But do you realize that He laid down His life specifically for you?
Amen.
He sought you out. And He says, I will pay the price for Him. I want Him back there. I want Him. I want her. He did it for you. What does that mean? Are you convinced He's your friend? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. He is altogether lovely. He's touched with our infirmities.
Amen.
He's afflicted in our afflictions.
Yes.
That's the definition of friendship.
Amen.
So what should we do? In light of all of this, in light of this person that is altogether lovely, what should you do? Set your affections on Him.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
We're admonished time and time again. Consider Him. Yes, the problem in your life. Yes, the sorrows. It's true. It's real. We can't negate it. We can't pretend that the problems in our life don't exist. We can't just pretend that we live in fairyland and everything is beautiful. No. That's not true. You have true problems, but consider Him.
Yeah.
We're admonished, looking unto Jesus. Look unto Him, and you will find the solution. You'll find the comfort. You'll find the peace. You'll find the love that you need.
Amen.
In every single situation of your life.
Amen.
Because He's altogether lovely.
Yes, He is.
He says, come unto me.
Yes.
Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you peace. I will give you rest.
Amen.
Not probably. Not most of the times. That's a vain promise. That's an empty promise. But He says, if you come unto me, I will give you rest. What does that mean? Do you have rest? Do you have rest in your family, in your marriage? Do you have rest with your children? Do you have rest in your souls? Do you have rest in your church? Do you have rest in your life? If you don't, it's only because you haven't come to Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The last thing that Christ prayed for on earth was that we, you and I, might be with Him in heaven. You know why? He speaks to His apostles, to His disciples, and He says, I go to the Father to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye might be also. And that's great, that's wonderful. I mean, I'm not belittling this promise in any way. We're going to live with Him. He's preparing a place for us so that we can be with Him. But the question is, why does Jesus Christ want us with Him? He tells us in John chapter 17, that we might behold His glory.
Amen.
Oh, can you see His glory now? Can you see Him now? Can you see that marvelous glory, that altogether loveliness that He's manifested in the Word and through the Spirit in your life? Can you see Him now? Secondly, I think we who know Him to be altogether lovely should be both willing and ready to leave everything for Him. His price is far above the price of rubies. We should be willing to sell all that we have so that we might find that pearl of great price.
Amen.
It's worth leaving behind all of our problems.
Amen.
All of this world. All of our dreams, all of our possibilities, because without Christ, nothing is lovely. Are you willing to follow Him? Are you willing to seek Him? Are you willing to give up yourself that you might have Christ? Can you count all of your righteousness as loss for the knowledge of the excellency of Him?
Amen.
Thirdly, I think we should all be ready to present the world this person that we know to be altogether lovely.
Amen.
Every part of him. Are you ashamed to present him as a babe? As a child? Are you ashamed to present him on the cross? Are you ashamed to present him as the Son of Man? What part of his person, what part of his being is shameful to you? I've searched the scripture. I can't come up with anything that says, you know what? Maybe if he was a little bit different. He is altogether lovely. The Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 1. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? The first question was one of mocking. Why your beloved? How is yours better than mine? All she did was describe his person.
Right.
All you need to do in whatever situation you're in, describe his person.
Amen.
And people will say, where is he? Let me seek him with you.
Amen.
You don't need to be fancy. You don't need to be eloquent. You don't need to be better. You don't need to be different. You don't need to be new. You don't need to be modern. All I have, all I need, is Christ.
Amen.
He is altogether lovely.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.